here in San Francisco this week. Good luck getting a hotel room. 60,000 people are in town for a huge conference being put on by the tech giant Oracle. The company, co-founded by Larry Ellison, has been around for almost 40 years. It's one of the biggest companies in the world, but right now it's in the midst of a major transition, trying to become a leader in cloud computing. Ellison is still a leader in the company, which has two CEOs, Safra Catz and Mark Hurd, who used to run HP. I sat down with him yesterday at the conference. Mark Hurd, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So I have to say, as I was preparing for this interview and talking to people about the fact that I'd be talking to you, a lot of them had no idea what Oracle was. They've heard of it. They don't know what it does. What is it?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I think most people know Oracle's a big company, knows Oracle does something important. Think of Oracle as primarily technology and software. That's really what connects a lot of business today. So, for example, if there was no Oracle, it'd be very hard to trade a share of stock. You likely couldn't get an airplane ticket. Some ways, if you've always heard of the Intel as Intel inside, think of Oracle as Oracle inside. In many cases, Oracle is the software that's driving websites, it's driving e-commerce, it's driving traditional commerce, and intertwined in many, many of the things we do every day.
And you've got 60,000 people here at this conference in San Francisco right now. How many customers does Oracle have?
About 400,000 plus customers.
And they are involved in all the kinds of things that ordinary consumers would be involved in?
Yeah, maybe better to clarify, 400,000 companies mm-hmm. as customers. And those companies cross every industry. We're in over 80 countries. So very broad distribution of our technology across the world.
And now more than ever, you're moving into the cloud.
Yes.
Why?
There's several factors, and we talked a little bit about it at the conference this morning. First, you've got, you know, if you look at the S&P 500 over the last several years, revenue growth has been tepid, you know, a little less than 1% revenue growth over the last 5 years on a compounded basis. But earnings are up 5, 6%. And so you've had companies fundamentally cutting costs to make earnings. That's sort of point one. Point two, IT has been less expense going into IT as part of those overall cost-cutting measures, and yet a very old infrastructure inside IT today. Aging infrastructure, aging software applications. And so this drives a need on the part of our customers to change, to get a better outcome.
And when I read a headline like Microsoft is light years ahead of Oracle when it comes to the cloud, how do you respond to that? Is that true?
That would be wrong.
Why?
First of all, Microsoft and Oracle aren't really direct competitors, so it's sort of probably an article that has a headline to try to make it somewhat dramatic. But we compete at three levels of the cloud. The applications, think of the applications that run big companies, the platforms that drive those companies, and the infrastructure that support both. And we're the company with the most complete set of applications in the cloud, the most complete platform in the cloud, and it shows up in our numbers. We've booked more cloud business than anybody else in the industry.
But a lot of companies, not just Microsoft, are moving into this business. They want to be just what you want to be.
Well, it's interesting to say that, but doing the work is a lot harder. So we've been 10, 11 years of pure engineering, moving our technology from what traditionally was on-premise in the data center into the cloud, and that's a lot of work. And the ability to move that IP is difficult.
How difficult is it, though, to turn the ship? This is a company that's been around for a long time. It's not as nimble as a new startup in Silicon Valley. How difficult is it to say, okay, Oracle, this is what we are now. We're doing cloud.
Well, I think it starts with, you know, the roots of the company. The company was founded by Larry Ellison. Larry at his core was a very technical founder. And frankly, it's been his vision over the last several years. This is where, like many industries, you think about the car industry. You don't buy individual parts for a car and put it together in your driveway. You buy a completed car. This is where the IT industry is headed. And I think Larry had that view many, many years ago, which is what started the development I described earlier.
And do you think 10 years from now we're still going to be using the cloud, or will it be something else?
Well, first of all, I think it's going to take 10 years to fully embrace the benefits of what we've been talking about. This ability to move things from today's customized on-premise environment with large, large IT staffs on a part of the company and moving that into this sort of utility-oriented environment, this is going to be a long haul. This is a 5-10-year journey to get most of these companies there.
One of the things that you're known for doing is acquiring a lot of companies. This company, Oracle, has acquired a lot of companies. And I wonder how much that is just about getting talent. Is the easiest way to get the best people to just buy the company that they work for?
It's about getting technology, and it's about getting talent. We have a build-buy strategy. So much of what's built this amazing portfolio we have has been stuff we built out of R&D. We spend over $5 billion a year in R&D, but yet we can't build everything. So we go out and acquire the best companies in the industry that are doing things that we're not building. And then to your point, being able to bring talent with it, it's a big bonus for us.
And do the good people stay?
Yeah, I mean, listen, not when you're in a small company, you've got great technology, and you come to a big company like Oracle, not everybody will. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but many people do. And we particularly, you can imagine, we want the technical talent, but many people do.
How do you share the role of CEO?
Well, I mean, when you talk about what we do, I mean, Safra and I have worked together. You're talking about Safra Katz,
co-CEO, but you're both CEOs, right?
Right. Yeah. And so we come together. And by the way, let's include Larry in it, too. I mean, there's really three of us. But we come together on many, many decisions that drive the company from a strategic perspective. But we also do different things. For us, we think we've got sort of the best model you can have. I mean, we've got the ability, and it comes down to being able to work together and trust each other and be able to do various things together at the same time. But, you know, Safra's out talking to customers and doing many things that frankly I can't do or don't do, and she's better at than I am. And, you know, hopefully I can add to that as well. And between the three of us, we think we cover a lot of ground, and it's allowed us to do a lot of things at the same time.
And you never have moments when you all three think different things and
no, we always think different things. I mean, that's the beauty of it, right? I mean, when you come to a decision, if we all thought about everything the exact same way, it wouldn't be that interesting.
I want to ask you a little bit about you, because you were going to be a tennis pro. You were a college tennis player. You were on a scholarship.
Yeah. Yes.
And you had to make a decision at one point, and I have a little experience with this because my brother was a college tennis player at University of Illinois. They won the NCAA championship. He looked into going pro, and after a while had to decide, you know what, I am not the next Pete Sampras.
Right.
How did you get to that point where you decide, you know what, this is not what I'm going to do, even though I've put everything into this over the last many years?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wish I could give you a really dramatic story about this, but I played, to your point, all through college, and I had some level of success, and I wanted to play more. But in the end, it came down to an economic decision where when I was out after college, I was spending more money than I was making. So to me, and I also promised myself when I got out of school, I'd give it a shot for a really finite amount of time. And if I couldn't pop, meaning, you know, to make a jump, I'd go get a job, and that's what I did.
Do you use those lessons now? Do you put a time limit on success?
Well, I love. Let me say this. Let me say what I love about tennis first, college tennis particularly, which is a individual sport played in a team environment, and I really feel that is a lot the way business works. You know, you've got to play your position, do your job, but you're doing it in a team environment. Very similar to what we talked about earlier about the collaboration, you know, at the executive level. And so I think those are lessons that are extremely well learned. When you're on a tennis court, there's no timeouts, there's nobody else to play for you, it's just you, and yet you're doing it in the context of a team. And so, yeah, those lessons have served me well through the years.
Do you think we're in a tech bubble?
I think we're in a tech transition and a tech transformation. Whether it's a bubble or not depends. A bubble is usually used as a term to refer to valuations. When you look at valuations of many companies, they're actually suppressed. When you look at valuations of some smaller companies, they're actually quite inflated. I think this really has to do with people making bets on who will participate as the winners in this transformation that we've talked about for the last several minutes.
I want to ask you one more question. You took over for Carly Fiorina, who's now running for president. Mm-hmm. Did she leave HP in a good situation for you?
You know, listen, I loved my time at HP, and I typically don't get into, you know, things like that. I'm right now so focused on Oracle and getting Oracle right. It's just what I think about all the time and what I'm focused on.
So you don't have any views on Carly Fiorina that you want to share?
I have lots of views on things that have to relate to today as opposed to what happened. I mean, listen, right now, I'm very focused on, you know, staying on the news channel, not on the history channel. And so for us right now, the news channel is where we take an Oracle, where we take in the industry, not by what happened 10, 15 years ago.
Well, Mark Hurd, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. My pleasure.
Mark Hurd, the CEO of Oracle.